The first reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbani," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Good morning and a happy Easter to you. Let's pray. Father God, as we thank you for the joy of Easter time, I pray that as we reflect on the extraordinary events of that first Easter and their implications for us, you would meet with us today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The expression, "I've had a bad day at the office," is one that has usage far wider than just people who are in office jobs. Of course, sports stars talk about it. If they've had a bad day on the field, they sort of talk about a bad day at the office. If you can apply it to anyone in recent past, I guess you would apply it to the captain of the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal about 10 days ago or so. Yeah, this ship is, just to give a sense of the scale, it was about 400 metres long, which is roughly the distance from Deeble Road right the way up to the co-op. It weighed 200,000 tonnes and has a capacity for 20,000 containers. Remember, containers are not little cardboard boxes. They're those massive steel things that you see. And it got turned while going through the Suez Canal by high winds and sandstorm and got wedged into the banks on both sides of the canal. It literally got stuck in the mud. I mean, I remember a canal boat holiday years ago and seeing boats get stuck when the water levels were low. But this is on a different scale. It was stuck for a week before they could free it. And there was a backlog of about 450 ships, which either had to decide to wait or go all the way around the southern tip of Africa on their journey. Estimated cost of this was kind of about $90 to $100 million. And what struck me in my reading was that apparently 12% of global trade, 12% of global trade passes through the Suez Canal each day. I find that utterly extraordinary. So with this happening for a week, it was almost as if a giant pause button was pressed on world shipping and on much of the world trade. So I wonder, have you felt stuck this year? Being unable to do so many of the things that you love, spend time with family, with friends, travel, holidays, sport, maybe your work, gathering to worship, of course. This year has had a heavy toll on our mental well-being, and in many respects, society has been stuck. Our economy is on a war footing. Businesses have been closed. Plans are so uncertain. It's almost as if a giant pause button has been pressed on life itself. At that first Easter, Jesus was also stuck. He was stuck in death, stuck in a tomb, stuck, cut off from life. Friday evening, he was stuck. Friday night, stuck. Saturday morning, stuck. Saturday afternoon, stuck. Saturday evening, stuck. Saturday night time, still stuck. The one in whom, through whom, for whom all things were created, as we read in Scripture, was dead. It was as if a giant pause button had been pressed on creation, on history, on the very fabric of the universe. And of course, Mary was stuck. The disciples were stuck. What do we do now? We had hoped that he was the one who was going to bring salvation. We had hoped for so much. We had hoped for liberation. And to them, it wasn't a pause button. It was a giant stop button. What do we do now? Of course, with the benefit of hindsight, for those of us who live after that first Easter Sunday, we know it was only a pause, a giant pause, but a pause nonetheless. So let's come back to that ship. What freed the ship? Well, first of all, the removal of blockages. They brought in a specialist suction dredger that was capable of shifting 2,000 cubic metres of mud and silt and sand each hour. And then they had power. They had the power of 14 tugboats working together, seemingly tiny compared to that massive ship, but very, very powerful and very capable, combined with the massive power of water as the tide rose to eventually free the ship. That's what freed the ship. What freed Jesus? Well, the removal of a blockage, first of all. The stone, verse 1 in this passage we read, the stone had been removed. Apparently an impossible thing. It's a massive stone. And it's got a seal on it for security as well, so that people would know that no one had tried to remove the stone. They did that because the authorities were frightened that maybe the disciples might steal the body and claim that Jesus was risen from the dead. Or they were also afraid of the possibility of body snatchers, a very real issue at that time. But of course, removing the stone is not much use if the person inside is still dead. So what freed Jesus? The removal of the blockage, removal of the stone, yes, but also power. The power of the Holy Spirit. We read in Romans 8 and verse 11, the power of the Holy Spirit raises Jesus from the dead. The divine power is so great, not even death can stand against it. Hallelujah! In that power, death has been swallowed up in victory, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. So what will free us? Yes, the vaccine will bring a degree of freedom for us, and it's certainly producing, isn't it, a rising tide of hope. But what if COVID is not the only thing that has trapped us? What if our vision for escape from this COVID season and escape from the restrictions, what if our vision is too small? You see, Mary's vision in this passage in John 20, Mary's vision was small. It was to tend to a dead body. It was to give Jesus' body the proper rituals, the proper respect that he deserved. But Jesus' vision was much bigger. Jesus' vision was onwards and upwards. Onwards for her to spread the news of the resurrection to the disciples. And upwards for him to ascend to the throne of heaven. So what will free us? The removal of blockages and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Lord and your Saviour, then you need to know that the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, taking the penalty for all the wrongs that we've done in our lives, brings forgiveness. And the empty tomb, Jesus rising from the dead, brings victory over blockages in our life, brings freedom for those who are in him, for those who surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus. So if you don't know him yet as Lord and Saviour, what a great day to start that journey. But if you do know him, maybe this is a reminder this Easter of any blockages that remain, that there is power to remove those. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. The Holy Spirit is alive with us today to equip us, to strengthen us, to help us to move onwards and upwards. The power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's back to Romans 8 verse 11 again. It's the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, we read. And then we read the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The same power available to us. So my prayer, my hope, my wish, my desire, as we emerge from COVID, and we will emerge slowly from COVID, is that we would emerge stronger as individuals. We would emerge stronger as church. We would emerge reliant more on the Holy Spirit and less on our structures and ways of doing things. It's that time of year, isn't it, when daffodils are emerging and looking beautiful. The reason they look so beautiful is because the preparation work has been going on underground in winter. What's God been doing in you over this last year? I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, talking through some difficulties that I'd faced. And his question to me was, in those difficulties, what was God's gift to you? Because we need to recognise that whatever circumstances we go through, whatever difficulties we face, things will work for the good of those who love the Lord our God. Even though God doesn't cause difficulties for us, he will work with us to bring benefit from them. So the question was, what is God's gift in it? So it's a question we should all ask ourselves. What's God's gift to us in Easter? But also, what's God's gift to us in this last year? Is it, for some, a gift of finding a different pace of life? Is it a gift of coming and recognising our dependence on God? Is it a gift of finding new ways of working out our faith? I don't know. It's going to be different for all of us. But I do urge us all, as we emerge into this new season, that we move forwards, not backwards. And let's remember that ship that got stuck. Do you know the name of it? The Ever Given. The Ever Given. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are ever given to us. The ripples of that first Easter are still with us. Jesus rose from the dead. That changes everything. Because of that, nothing has to remain stuck. God bless you this Easter time. God bless you as you move forward with him. God bless you with much joy and much peace. Amen.